Psalm 20, if you have your Bibles, I ask you to please be turning there. Psalm 20, if you have your Bibles. Boy, I hear them pages. Praise God. Hallelujah. You found your place. Look up here. I want to tell you something from the bottom of my heart. And I want you to know this. God hasn't forgot about you. I don't care where you at, what you've got going on, what's going on in your life. None of that matters right now. I know it feels like it's huge, overwhelming, overpowering. Whatever you want to put in there, it's there. But you remember, you've got a God in heaven that's not forgot about you. He knows you. He can feel the feeling of your infirmities. We have a high priest that is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, doing what he needs to do. Even when we're not right, even when we don't do right, even when we mess up, he's still on the throne. He will not be dethroned. And this morning I want to share with you that God is not done with you. He has not forgot about you. He loves you, and he's going to do a work in your life. Psalm chapter number 20. If you have a copy of God's word, I ask you to stand. We will read the whole chapter. Thank God it ain't Psalm 119. I got some Bible readers in here. You tried to go through that whole chapter. Psalm chapter number 20 and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offering. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all his petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven and with the saving strengthening of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we do love you and we do thank you and we do thank you for what you do in our life. We thank you and thank you and thank you more than we could ever even say it with a small word. Thank you that you redeemed us and you saved us and you bought us with a precious price, and that's the blood of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, I'll guard my throat and guard my thoughts, Lord. I do know this, so Satan can creep in, but Lord, I don't want to preach nothing but thus saith the Word of God. Lord God, I don't want my opinions or my thoughts. I want the Bible today to give to your people. Lord God, I am the shepherd, the under-shepherd of this flock, and Lord, I want to shepherd it the right way. I want to preach the right word, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you move on somebody real good today. Lord, I thank you for the song service that we've had. Lord, I thank you, Father, what you're going to do in this place. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you just move like never before, Father. I pray you let us lay our cares at your feet and just worship you this morning. Father, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you. Have your will and way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. I pray that you increase and I decrease in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. God has not forgot about you. God hasn't forgot about you. Here as we come in Psalm chapter number 20, 1 through 9 here, I want to show you that God has not forgot about you. Child of God, this morning, I want you to know that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that's who I'm talking about this morning. He hasn't forgot about you. He knows his sheep and he knows how to shepherd them. John chapter number 10 and verse number 14, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd and the know my sheep and a known of mine. But how do we know that he's not forgot about us? If you look with me in verse number 1, we see that the Lord hears us, that the Lord hears us when we cry, when we cry out to Almighty God. The Lord hears us. He's not too far from us. He hears us when we cry out. You say, preacher, how do you know that? The Bible says in verse number 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Not only does he hear us when everything is going good, but he hears us when we're in trouble. You say, how does he hear us? He immediately hears us in the day that we cry. He don't hear us 10 days later or 20 days later. In the day that we cry unto Almighty God, he hears us immediately at that time. He immediately hears us in the day that we cry, in the day that we cry out to his voice. He immediately hears us in that day. Can I say to you that not only he immediately hears us, but he individually hears each and every one of us. They may be several hundred in this room right now, but I want you to know, if we all cry out to God right now, he don't have to wonder who it was. He don't have to say, I thought that was Brother Tony, or I thought that was Sister Kathy, or I thought that was Brother Hagin. Oh no, when we cry, he hears us. And he hears us individually. When you get on your knees before an Almighty God and you cry out to him, not only does he immediately hear you, but he individually hears us. You say, preacher, how can he do that? Because he is the God of the universe. He don't mess up names. He don't get sidetracked. He don't get you mistaken for somebody else. When his child cries out to him, he knows who you are and he knows what you need. Oh, when you cry, the Bible says, if you'll turn with me there to Psalm chapter number 34 and verse number 18. Here's when you cry unto him. Here's how God responds, and here's how God hears our cries. Ain't you thankful that God hears us this morning? Ain't you thankful that we got a God that hears, a God that's got an ear that's not stopped up, but an ear that can hear us when we cry out to him? And his name defends us. It's the God of Jacob. Look here in Psalm 34 in verse number 18. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You come in here this morning and you may be of a broken heart. Hey, that's a good thing. God's near to those that have a broken heart. Have you ever felt God closer than ever? Oh, when your heart's broken and it's tender and God has done broken that heart down, and it's no longer about I and it's no longer about self. Hey, but it's about God, and he showed up in your life and he's heard you cry. The Bible says, in verse number 18 of Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You say, preacher, what does that do? Hey, when you get to that place in your life and you got nowhere else to go or nowhere else to turn, and you turn unto God and you cry unto him and you say, Lord God, I need you. I need you right now in my life. I don't know nobody ever prayed and said, God, I need you in 3 years from now. Hey, I'm not worried about 3 years from now. I'm not worried about 3 days from now. I'm not worried about 3 hours from now. I'm worried about right now. Hey, can I get an amen? I need God to hear right now. Hey, when the problem is raging and the storm is out there and the winds are boisterous in your life and you think you're going to drown and you think everything's caving in, you don't want God to answer 10 days down the road. You want him to answer you right then. And friends, can I say to you, we got a God in heaven that answers immediately, and he answers individually right in their life, and he answers when we call on his name. He says he answers us when we call on his name. I see that God hasn't forgot about you, and he ain't forgot about me, because the Lord hears me. But let me show you something else in verse number 2. Not only does the Lord hear me, but the Lord helps you. Can I get an amen? Hey, my help comes from the Lord. Hey, not only does he hear you, but he helps you. Have you ever just needed help? Hey, just needed help, and you called on him, and he helped you right there in your life. Hey, you didn't have to call on nobody else. You could call on God. I'm talking about the one that created the universe. I'm talking about the one that said, let's make man in our image. I'm talking about the God that split the Red Sea. I'm talking about the God that closed the mouth of the lions. I'm talking about the God that slayed Goliath. I'm talking about the God that hung his son on the cross of Calvary. I'm not talking about a fake God. I'm talking about a real God this morning. If you cry out to him, he will help you right where you're at. Look with me in verse number 2. He says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. You say, preacher, if I call on the Lord and the Lord hears me, how is he going to help me? Number one, he's going to help you because he's going to send help. He's going to send help. He's going to send the help you need, when you need it, where you need it, and from a place you never thought it would come from. He's going to send help from the sanctuary. If you look with me in verse number 2, whoa, glory to God. Have you ever thought, if I can just get to church, I can get help? If I can just get to the sanctuary of Almighty God, if I can just get to a place. Hey, when you come here, you ought not leave bitter, you ought to leave better. Amen? Hey, you ought not leave burdened, you ought to leave blessed. Hey, you ought not leave sad, you ought to walk out of here with a little pep in your step, a little hallelujah in your shout. Amen? Knowing that you've been talking to God and he's helped you and he's met your need. He'll send help from the sanctuary. You say, preacher, what is that sanctuary that he sends help from? I say to you, it's a secret place. It's a place only God is. It's a place only God is, and nobody else can get there. The only body can get to where God is a child of God through the help of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we cry unto him. And God hears that prayer. It's a secret place. And I say to you this morning, you need to know about that secret place. It's a place where God is. It's a place where he's at. And he answers and sends help from his sanctuary. Can I say to you, it's not only a secret place, but it's a special place. Man, when you get to where Almighty God is and you call on his name and you've called on him and he's heard you and now he's willing to help you, he'll pull that help out of a secret place. He'll pull that help out of a special place. And can I say to you, because it is the sanctuary of God, it is a holy place. He won't send nothing bad your way. He'll only send good your way. It's a secret place. It's a special place. And it's a holy place. And this help comes straight from God. I see when he sends his help, he sends it, but not only send help, but he sends strength. And you say, preacher, where does that strength come from? Where does my strength come from? He said he'll strengthen thee in verse number 2. He can strengthen thee out of Zion. You know what Zion here is in the Bible? Zion is that mountaintop. He'll send you help from the mountaintop. He'll send you help from a place where only God is, up on the mountain, God of the mountain, amen? He'll send you help from up there. What kind of help will he send me, preacher? He'll comfort you from the mountaintop. Even though he can meet you in your valley, he don't have to get off his throne to meet you where you're... Whoa, glory to God. He don't have to get off his throne to meet you where you're at. Your situation does not move God, by the way. Your situation does not move God. You know what moves God? You move God. Your situation that you're in, it don't move God a bit. He sees the turmoil going on. He sees the storm that's raging. He was asleep in the boat. He was laid down taking it easy. The situation they was in did not move them. But when they cried out to God, when they got crying out to God, that's what moved God. Your storm don't move God. You move God. He said, and the Lord heard me and he helped me. Your storm does not move God. You are who moves God. He never died for a storm in your life. He died for you that are in the storm. Listen to me. He said this. He said from his mountaintop, from Zion, what will he do? He said that he will send help down to you. He will send help from that place. What kind of help will he send? To the broken heart, he'll comfort it. He'll send comfort. He'll send strength. He'll send what you need when you need it. He'll send it straight from heaven. Hey, can I say to you, he won't get it from nobody else. He don't have to reach over here and look for it. He don't have to go to First State Bank and borrow it. He don't have to get a credit card to get it to go through. He don't have to wait on a transaction. All he's got to do is reach down from heaven and meet you right where you're at. He can meet that need anytime, any place, and anywhere. That's the God I serve. He hears you when you cry, and he sends you help when you need it. I wonder who in here this morning, you say, preacher, I just need help. Preacher, I just need help. That man that says, I don't need a bit of help, you be careful, you'll need help before Monday. That man that says, I got it all figured out and I got it all under control and I'll do it my way and I can do it my way and I thought it should be this way. Did you not know that's the anthem in hell? I thought I could do it my way. I thought I could do it my way and it still worked. Friends, this morning there's only one way to do it and that's God's way. Amen. You must cry unto him and he will hear you where you're at, right there in your life. I see not only does he do that in your life, he sends comfort from the mountaintop. He refreshes you from the mountaintop. Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I can do all things through Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9, a part of this verse says, my grace, what is that? His help, his mercy, when he hears you. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you get to the place you're too weak to do anything but cry, that's where God wants you. When you get to the place you can't do nothing but just cry out to God, that's where he wants you. He wants you in that place. He wants you there that you rely on him and you rely on what he can do. I say not only does he hear, not only does he help, but God holds those that are his. Man, that's something right there. Not only does he hear you when you cry, not only does he help you when you cry, but he's holding you the whole time you're crying. The psalmist said here, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Then look with me, if you will, in verse number 6. He says, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. He said, I got you, son. He said, I'm holding on to what you can't hold on to. When you don't feel like holding on, I'm holding on to you. He said, I'm holding you with my right hand. Can I say to you that right hand is a saving hand? If you feel like you're falling, that right hand of God will hold you. It's a saving hand. Can I say to you, it's a strengthening hand. He said, he'll strengthen me with his right hand. I ask you this morning, who are you holding on to this morning? Who's holding on to you this morning? I see it's a saving hand. It's a strengthening hand. I see it's a sure hand. He says this in the text. He said that here's what he would do. His anointed, he will save his anointed. You say, preacher, what does that mean? He'll raise you up. He'll stand you up and he'll strengthen you. He has a strengthening hand this morning. He doesn't leave us where he found us. Isaiah 59:1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Can I say to you, no matter where you're at, his hand's not short. Boy, I thank God for that his hand's not short. His hand will reach down right where you're at, right in the place that you're at this morning, reach down from heaven and touch you right where you're at. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You say, preacher, what do? You cry unto God. Let him meet you in your need. Child of God, remember the Lord hears you. He'll help you and he'll hold you with his right hand. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Preacher, I feel like it's been forever since God heard me. Preacher, I feel like it's been forever. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Last Sunday we seen where in the text where the Lord came back from being crucified. We see where the Lord came back from being scrutinized. We see where the Lord came back and we must realize his hand on our life. And we must look to that hand and we must let that hand lead us and we must let that hand guide us. And you said, preacher, what happened? I didn't finish reading the story there. I kept reading and you did too. And here's what he said, if you'll look with me in John, if you'll look with me in John chapter number 20 and verse number 25, he said, preacher, I feel like God's gone away from me. I don't hear him like I should. I don't feel him like I should. Can I say to you, don't go on what you hear and what you feel. Go on what you know. Know that God is a God of the living, not of the dead. Know that he is the resurrection. Know that he is your health. Know that he is your strength. He said, preacher, you're preaching with like you got urgency this morning. Yes, because I don't want you to be down and out. I want you to be on the mountaintop fighting this battle, knowing that God's got you. He ain't going to let you down. He ain't never, and he never will. I see this. That he holds you with his right hand. And the Lord hears. He hears. He's not forgot you. Look with me, if you will, in John chapter number 20 and verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You see, I can tell you what God will do in your life, but until you experience him and realize what he can do, just what I tell you won't do you a bit of good. I've told people all their life, and I'm telling you, I know folks, I've got to experience it. And listen to me, till you get a hold of God the way you're going to have to experience it for yourself. You can't go off what I've experienced. You can't go off what I know. You got to go off what you've experienced and how God has touched you. Here these disciples, they came and they told Thomas. And you say, oh, doubting Thomas. Hey, don't give him a hard time. We doubt too. Get you a cancer report. And somebody says, oh, you're going to be healed. First thing in your mind, you say, oh, not me. He can heal everybody else, but not me. Let your marriage get on the rocks. And you think it's over. You already been to divorce court. And you say, oh, not me. Hey, you start doubting, you start unbelieving. He said he could have done a lot of mighty works if it wouldn't have been for their unbelief. When you believe that God can, it unlocks stuff in your life. It releases God. He releases his hand, that right hand, that he can bless you, that he can move on you, that he can help you, Brother Garrett, that he can help his anointed. But when you doubt him and you say, God, I just don't think God can, you put a limit on him. You limit what God can do in your life. He don't lose any power. He does not relinquish that power to you. But when you say, God, I know I can't, but you can, you know what he does? He takes that old big hand, Brother Jake, he opens that glory spout, and he starts pouring it out on his anointed. He starts letting it flood from the top to the bottom. And here old Thomas came, and you say, I'm telling you, God ain't forgot about you. And old Thomas, here's what he said. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen God. We've seen the Lord. I'm telling you, we've seen the Lord in this place. We've seen the Lord move, Brother Eric. We've seen God touch your life. Man, I go around this room. We've seen God touch people. We've seen him move on them. Don't you let your testimony get dust on it. Brother, y'all's laying in the hospital about dead, both of y'all. Don't let that go cold. Brother Charles, you was dead. You was a dead man. Don't you quit telling that testimony. How God touched you and delivered you. Even if they don't believe it, tell it anyway. Tell it till they start believing it. If you don't believe how good God is, just start telling yourself how good God is until you believe it. I need to talk to somebody right now. You just need to talk to yourself. Get those naysayers out of your ear. Get them off your back. Get them away from you. Anybody in your inner circle that's all negative, get you a different circle. Get you different friends. Get away from them that don't believe that God can, and get you somebody that ain't got enough sense but to believe that God can. Amen? I've seen him do it before, and he'll do it all over again. Get you somebody like that. Get you somebody that knows that God can. Somebody that's seen him raised from the grave. Somebody that knows in their spirit that he's alive and well. Get you somebody like that. Don't you get you an old naysayer that don't believe nothing going on in the Bible and can always give logic why it did happen. Get you somebody that believes God can. It'll do you good in your life. You get you somebody that knows that God can. He said that Thomas was not with them when they seen Jesus raised from the grave. Arose from the grave. But the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands. Huh? God ain't forgot about him. God ain't forgot. Lord, God ain't forgot. You said he's doubting. It don't matter if you doubt today or not. He ain't forgot about you, sister. He ain't giving up on you. You can doubt all you want to. He ain't gave up on you. He still wants you to believe. He still wants to blow your mind. Hey, some of you need to blow it in here. You need a God experience. I'm talking about one that shake your whole family. I'm talking about a daddy get shook by God. I tell Ryder, when he gets knocked down or something, here's what I tell him, Brother Bradley. Here's what I tell him. I say, get up there, boy. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Shake that off. Here's what he'll do. That's all. He don't know what I'm really saying. He just... Brother Les knocked him down in the prayer room a while ago accidentally. What'd he do, Brother Les, when he got up? I said, shake that off. What'd he do? He shook it off. I said, get up, Mary. Ain't nothing wrong with you. I'm talking to a Christian this morning. Get up and where you at. There ain't nothing wrong with you. Get out of your pity party. Get out from laying down, acting like everybody owes you something. Get up from there. He died on that cross, and he's still alive, and he's still well. He hears you. He helps you, and his big old hand will hold you if you'll let him. Thomas said, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and except I put my finger into the print of the nails, and except I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Give me 26. He said, I won't believe. There's some of you this morning said, I won't believe it anyway. And after 8 days, God ain't forgot about, that's what I want to preach right there. Y'all ready? Now we're going to preach. That's the introduction. He said, and now, and after 8 days again, after 8 days, God ain't forgot about you. Brother Cody, God hadn't forgot about you. The other day when you woke up, God ain't forgot about you. I don't care, Brother Gary, God ain't forgot about you over there in the middle of nowhere over around Johnson Bottom. God ain't forgot about you. He knows your needs. He knows what you need. God ain't forgot about you, Brother Jerry Gabby, over there in the middle of nowhere, got a little pond in front of your house. God ain't forgot about you. He knows what you need. He said, preacher, God's gave it. He ain't forgot about you. He didn't give up on Thomas. Union Chapel, God ain't forgot about us. God ain't forgot about it. Frank, God ain't forgot about you. Brother James Lowe, God ain't forgot about you. He knows right where you're at. He knows where you're at every day. And it may be 8 days after everybody else seen it, but your time's coming, son. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Your time's coming. It may have been a while since you've seen God move your life, but it's coming. Look what he said. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. So Thomas, he's coming on around just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's coming on around. He said, he might show, somebody here said he might show back up today. Sister Kim, he might show up today. I don't know if he will, but he might show up today, Brother Tony. So guess what? I'm going to be with where I know he does show. Brother, I'm going to be where I know he does show. Now, I'm going to get to where I know God does show. And that's where I'm going to sit down. You say, what if he don't show up today? At least I was there. At least somebody didn't have to tell me, you should have been at church. I hate that. Don't you? Boy, we had a blowout service and it got good. People, you should have been there. Boy, it eats me up. You know why? Because I know where I should have been. I should have been there. Here's what Thomas said. And then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. He could show up in here today. He could heal somebody's broken today. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Listen to me. He'll just go where he wants to go and do what he wants to do. That's God I serve. He'll beat on anybody's door, any place, anytime, anywhere. He said, preacher, what? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll come knock where he wants to knock, and he'll step through where he wants to step through. Then he came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace, be still. Peace be unto you. Give me the next one, man. He said, peace. Then said he to Thomas, what did he do? He come in a real body. He come in his real body. Now listen to me. You see on TV and you see all this Jesus wrapped up in white clothing and glowing and all that. And all he's just, Isaiah 53:5, I've got it wrote down, just what you read this morning. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says in Isaiah 52 that his body, his visage was marred so bad. Said a Roman soldier that knew how to use a cat of nine tails said he could whip Jesus and the first slap of 39 slaps, he could take a piece of flesh out, double your hands, cut it, slap out of his back. When he went to the cross, his kidneys hanging out of his back, his eyes dropped down his face. I'm talking about a martyred. I'm talking about a killed. I'm talking about somebody that's been beaten and spit upon for your sin and my sin. And I come in here to tell you, he's not gave up on you. He's not finished in what he has done. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came in his real body. He came right in his real body. And he stood there before Thomas. And he showed Thomas who he really was. Somebody in here this morning, you've come in with a real body this morning. You've not come to a make-believe church. You've not come to a church has got a list of things that we got to get done. You've come to a place where Jesus will show up. He will show up. He will show up. He will show up. He will show up. I promise you, he showed up in my life. He showed up in your life. And there he was. He come in a real body. And Thomas said, except I see, I will not believe. And 8 days later, he ain't gave up on you. He said, Thomas, he called him by name, individually and immediately. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Watch your TV, they'll lie to you. Your Bible won't. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. Invitation. And thrust it into my side and be not faithless but believing. Preacher, what did he do? He came in a real body. He came with real scars. Not a scab has got over him yet, brother. He ain't got a scab over his side. His side's still just wide open, gashed open where the spears went through. He said, preacher, I don't believe that a bit. He's told Thomas, you don't believe? Get you some. He said, you don't believe I was crucified and I'm alive? Here's my hands. You want to see the nail prints? Here they are. That Roman soldier made sure I wouldn't fall off, because if I fell off, the Roman soldier would have to go in my place. That was the law. If they were not nailed to that cross securely, Brother Jake, and they fell off the cross when they raised them up, that person was let go free and that soldier had to die in their place. But it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was the love, and he ain't forgot about you and he ain't forgot about me that held him to the cross. And he held there on that old rugged cross. And then he comes and he says, tell Thomas, he said, I'm in my real body. I have my real scars. Look at my hands. Look at my side. He said, take your hand and put them on my hand. Take your hand and run it at my side. I think I'd be right when I'd said nobody in this room's ever had a nail-scarred hand. I think I'd be right when I'd say nobody in this room's ever had a blade put all the way through their side. I think I'd be right when I'd say nobody in this room has ever been hung on the cross. But I think I'd be right when I'd say a lot of us has put our hands in his hands. A lot of us has held his hands and held his feet. That's why we're passionate about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. He told him, Thomas, he said, come here. He's telling somebody this morning, come here. He's telling somebody I'm talking to right now, some Christian that's wore out. I mean, you're wore out. Staying home would have been better. You're wore out. And he's saying, come here. Come here. I ain't forgot about you. I ain't forgot about you. It's 8 days. It's 8 days since you've heard, but I ain't forgot about you. He said, touch me. He come in a real body. You've come in real body this morning. He came with real scars. And I want to say to you, he came with real pain. When he arose out of that tomb, he still had that real body, them real scars, and that real pain. And he told Thomas, just touch me and see. Some scholars will tell you that Thomas touched him. Some scholars will tell you that Thomas didn't touch him. All I'm telling you this morning is by faith, Thomas touched him. I don't know if he physically touched him. He had the invitation to physically touch him. But I know this morning, not only will God touch you spiritually, but he'll touch you physically in this place this morning. And he, and be not faithless, but believing. Go to 28, please, sir. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Why? Because Thomas, number one, he cried out. He said, except I, that was his cry. Except I see it. Except I. God heard him. God helped his unbelief. Why? Because he come right where he was and said, here it is. You want it? Get it. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You tired of walking in pain? You tired of walking where you're at? Come get you some. Jesus is here. Invitation's open. Altar's open. Preacher, how do I get out of this mess? It don't take nothing but you get on your knees and cry out to Almighty God. Admit you're a sinner and he's the Savior. Even after you're saved, admit you're a sinner and he's a Savior. Man, there's times we just got to get to the place and say, Lord, I've done overstepped. I done went too far. I need to back up. Get back where you want me to be. God heard him. God helped Thomas. And God reached out his hand. And Thomas said, my God, my Lord and my God. Give me 29 there, brother. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, he said, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Because you physically seen, you have believed. He said, oh, Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe. I want to talk to somebody just for a moment. God ain't forgot about you. I don't know how many people's in here and actually could care less. Actually could care less. Because when I was brushing my teeth this morning, I got to praying, and God got to telling me, I said, Lord, who's this message for? He said, well, it was for you. Now it's going to be for one more. There's one more in there that needs to hear this. And I don't know who that one is. And I thank God he don't put that one on my heart. Because if he did, I'd have to come to you right now. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to single nobody out. I want God to single you out. I don't want you under preacher conviction. I want you under Holy Ghost conviction. Get under preacher conviction, you still go to hell. A lot of churches are full of them. They got under preacher conviction. Preacher knew what they was doing and he put them under conviction. Holy Ghost conviction is Holy Ghost conviction. He digs where nobody else can dig. And he claws where nobody else can claw. And he said, you just come right now with your real body, your real scars and your real pain. And I'll show you who I am. We don't serve a Savior. Listen to me. We don't serve a Savior that sits up there and does not feel nothing that you go through. He feels everything that you go through. And I want to say, he hasn't forgot about you. If you need a touch this morning, you come to this altar and let him touch you individually. In a mighty way. Father, I do love you and I do thank you. I do praise you. I do glorify you. I lift up your name, no other name. Lord, I read in the scripture where you didn't forget about Thomas. Lord, I've read in the scripture this morning with the youth where you didn't forget about Peter. Even though he denied you, you said, go feed my sheep. Lord, and on the day of Pentecost and all the way through, old Peter just preached the word. Lord, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you do. I pray you speak into their spirit right now that you've not forgot about them, that you've heard them, you're sending help, you've done sent it, and that you're willing to hold them right where they need to be. Bless them this morning, Father. Help your people meet the need that needs to be met. I pray it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.